the rules of video have changed. Undisputably, the rules are changing. They will continue to change. I think what we can do is really start to change some of the rules around how we think about creation, what tools that we're using and the way that we're using them. You know, I think just how we package up this whole kind of spectrum from start to finish, I think we've got a lot more flexibility. And that's a beauty of being alive and being a creator today. There's so much more that we can do in style and kind of taking from an approach that than we could 20, 30 years ago. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are and wherever you're watching from. My name is Matt Pierce, host of The Visual Lounge. Today, we're going to be talking about change, the thing that happens to everybody. It's changes all around us. It's going to happen. We can't stop it. So we need to understand what is changing and how to embrace it. Now, in particular, we are going to be talking about change for video. It's only me today, no guests. So I hope you like these episodes. If you do, like and subscribe. Don't forget, we've got a TikTok channel now. You can go watch and get clips, kind of the best of clips from our show. So if you don't want to listen to the whole show or don't have time to listen to the whole show, there's an opportunity there. So that's another change, right? Okay, so let's dive into change. So one of the things I'm going to kind of put out there for us to think about is the rules of video have changed. It's undisputable. There's things that used to be true that are no longer true. It used to be true that there are certain guidelines, you know, for film or television. You know, films, TV has to be a certain length to fit into the model of a half hour long show with commercials, things like that. It used to be that you'd tell people to take their smartphone, tip it on its side, and shoot vertical or horizontal videos. But now, a lot of people just watch horizontal videos with the rise of TikTok, Instagram Reels, you've got YouTube Shorts. People are watching in that format. And even if the format is different than that, they're still watching on a vertical screen. They're not even bothering to rotate it. That might bother you if you're older. If you're younger, you're saying that's the way it always is, right? Well, things are changing, though. I think things are going to continue to evolve. And so today, let's talk about a few things that maybe will help us navigate and understand some of these changes. So one of these things is, I want to quote Pablo Picasso. And he said, learn the rules like a pro so that you can break them like an artist. Now, I don't care if you're creating for YouTube, you're creating for your LMS or learning management system, you're creating for kind of internal communications. There's something powerful about being able to learn the rules that are generally out there so that when you do make a decision that's contrary to those rules, you can do it with power and authority and kind of that confidence that you're doing it for a good reason. So let's talk about some of those rules. Now, one of the rules, we just had an episode of the Visual Lounge podcast. We talked about scripting. I'll tell you, I think scripting is still one of the most powerful things that you can do. And it felt like it was a rule, especially if you're going to be spending $10,000, $50,000, $100,000, $300,000. You probably want to spend some time on the script. You want to get exactly what you want. And from a learning perspective, if you're a learning creator, you might be saying, yeah, of course I'm going to script that out. I don't want to miss a step. I don't want to miss a process. I don't want to miss anything here. So what you want to be thinking about, though, is are there ways for you, your subject matter expert, your on-camera talent, whoever, to get a little bit faster, right? And so you can script or can you outline? Are they such an expert that you can help them? Now, you might say, well, you know, when we talked to Andy and Ryan on the show, Andy will tell you that he struggles without a script. He meanders too much, went too long, too far. And I know that struggle. And so a script is really helpful. So I think what we want to think about is like, okay, well, if the rule is we should do something like that, but we also want this authenticity, we want this realism, what can we do? Well, consider like thinking about the structure of what you do. How can you templatize so much of this stuff that you don't have any more questions? Like, it's like, I know how kind of the general, the way we open, maybe not the words or the exact scenario. We know kind of all the parts and pieces that need to be there to be successful that we found through our experience. So look for templates that work for you. Now, one of the templates that I've been seeing a lot out there that I think is interesting, it's very simple and it's not for every scenario. I think you need different templates for different scenarios, different types of kind of options. But it's called the So But So. And I learned this by watching a video from Jennifer Hoyas. Jen Hoyes, she does kind of financial education videos. She does a lot of shorts. She does a lot of long form. She does it particularly focused on kind of younger viewers, teen viewers. So she talked about this, and she's, when she goes to do storytelling, right? Maybe a short video. Maybe she's going to eventually get to a grocery store. But that's not very exciting to say, I went to the grocery store. That's not much of a video. So she might say, so I was really in need for something for lunch. But when I went to the fridge, there was nothing there. So I decided I was going to take a walk. But I wasn't really sure which direction I wanted to go. So I just decided to start walking. But then I realized there was a problem. And she goes on and on, right? Like you could extend this out beyond, you know, minutes. You could go on forever. But the idea is it's building the structure that can pull you in. Kind of like, here's the thing. Oh, but there's an obstacle. But. And you can go back and forth. So I love that idea because it's very simple. You might be able to tell a story in a way that's very different. Now, there are lots of different templates out there. I won't go through all those today. You can think about like what your hooks are. We just had a great episode about visual hooks and bringing people in. But you want to be thinking about like what is the structure and how is that going to get you? And you can throw the rule of having a script out the window. You may not want to, or you may not choose to, but there are rules and there are, you know, that I don't think apply. You can be much more off the cuff as such as a podcast style or interview style. There are lots of things you can do to mix that up. Now, the next thing is, and I want to be careful about this because I know there's a lot of strong feelings out there about this, is that normally we'd say you create it, you know, you work with your team to create it, however that is. And if I, you know, we never would have thought of AI. But I think there's a lot that even where AI is today, and I've got my own personal opinions about AI and what I think it's going to create for opportunities and maybe challenges for people in learning development industries, for creators, things like that. But I think there's some things that it can be useful, really useful right now. And I won't get into prompt structure. I think we'll have a show at some point about prompt structure and using AI more effectively and things like that, especially for video creation. But can it help you organize some thoughts? Can it help you kind of think through structurally what should go in what order? Can it help you break something down, maybe even a little bit more simply? A colleague of mine's been asking ChatGPT to explain things as if she were five. And I love that, right? Because what's at the most simple base of this thing? If we're trying to help someone who maybe doesn't have understanding or clarity about the thing, how can we do that? So I think, you know, just looking at how you might include using some of these tools to make your work a little bit easier. And I think, you know, before we might say like, well, no, you can't have someone else do your work. That's cheating. Well, no, you might hire a writer. You might hire someone to do video work for you. You might hire all these people. And AI is just, you're hiring a tool to do something more for you. The next thing is, I think we've often been very creator-centric. And being creator-centric is, you know, thinking about like, what do I need to do? What is this, the purpose of this learning content? What am I trying to teach? And I'd like to flip that. I think we need to flip away from like me, me, me to you, you, you. What is it that the audience needs? How can we think like them? So I think one of the things that has happened is, you know, with the rise of kind of user-generated content, we've got, again, all the different social media platforms that are video-driven. There's just a plethora of challenges, and so they're looking for things. So, right, if you're making things that work for you, great. Hopefully, someone will find it. But we need to think like, what's the audience looking for? What's the problem that they're trying to solve? What is the thing that they're getting into or want to understand or go deeper on, or problem that, you know, they really want to just get past it, right? Like whatever that scenario is on the spectrum, I think what you can do is start thinking about like, hey, how do I position not only my title, my thumbnail, my description, but that script that we just talked about, the outline that you're going to create, how do I position it to focus on them? And really hone in on that, because if you're not focused on your audience, they don't care. If you've ever gone to a video and you thought, oh, this is the video that's going to solve my problem. It's going to teach me how to, you know, change my battery in my car or whatever it might be, fix the toilet. And you look at it and you're like, oh my gosh, cool, I'm going to watch this. And then it's the wrong thing or it doesn't look like yours, you're out, you're bailing. And that's really important. Now, in a corporate setting, just to make the contrast, someone might not bail because they are compelled to watch it. It's a compliance issue. But you're also fighting for their attention. Just because they're playing it on their screen doesn't mean they're not doing email or in Slack or doing something else. Now, granted, we hope they are, but we need to think like, hey, what's in it for them? We go back to this principle a lot. We call it WIFM, W-I-I-F-M. What's in it for me? So think about that WIFM principle across the spectrum of whatever it is that you're creating. So what are some other things that have changed in the world of video creation that I think we need to seriously consider? Now, one thing that I've been thinking a lot about and doing more of as we launched our TikTok channel is kind of this idea that when we make a piece of content, it is no longer just a piece of content that stands alone. It needs to be, it doesn't need to be, but we often want to multi-purpose it. So we do need to start thinking about when we create, what does that multi-purposing look like? And it's much easier to think about that upfront than get to the end product and be like, gosh, I would have thought about that. Let me give you a quick example of how one way that my team that I work with has been doing this. So you guys know Andy Owen, you got Katie, who is also on the video team, and they shoot these longer form YouTube videos that are really great. Awesome. Go check them out on the Snagit and Camtasia YouTube channels. Great content. Sometimes doesn't work super well, kind of like 30 seconds to 60 seconds short form video. So one of the things they've been doing is they've been working with the people that write the script. So Ryan Knott and others, and they say in that script, where are the short form videos? What are the pieces that we could pull out and just quickly record with a cell phone or maybe with the good camera, record a vertical video that would also work. Now, this is multi-purposing the script, maybe not the video. There are other options for a video. For instance, we'll probably take this podcast episode, we'll turn it into vertical videos by using tools to help us cut it down and chop it out. So we get quotes and things like that that we can pull out and use as still images. We get things that get pulled out and that can be used as short form videos. And you just want to be thinking about all these pieces. Like, how do I get more value out of everything that I create? Again, from a corporate perspective, because I want to keep that in mind, because I think creators are naturally doing this much more than internally. But what you might think about is from a, we'll draw back to what Clark Quinn talked about, that not everything is learning. Sometimes it's performance support. Can we pull out those pieces for performance support? Can it be a kind of memory zapping event where we're bringing back to the forefront of their memory? You know, maybe they take a class or they watch your video, go through a course, and then 7 days later, they get this reminder. And then 10 days later, they get a reminder. Whatever, the, you know, think about the Ebbinghaus curve, if you will. Go look it up on Wikipedia. You could start thinking about, how do I reinforce some of the things that I want them to know or remember? And sometimes it's like, well, maybe I just want them to have access to that part because that's the doing part that they need to be able to do, whether they're out, you know, on a out in the field or in working wherever, maybe they're on their computer and they're like, oh, how do I find that thing? And you can give them just a piece rather than the whole course. So, you know, one thing that kind of full circle back here again, we talked about scripts twice, templates, like building templates out to make this easy to reuse, building out templates, you know, for your videos, building out templates. So when you go to think about like, hey, I've got this long form video, I've got these, and I want to do short form videos, or maybe I want to do animated GIFs, or I want to do graphics. You know, we often think like, oh, I've done it once, I can't do it again. And there's good thinking behind that. Like, you know, we think about thumbnails. We don't want every thumbnail, but we don't want every thumbnail to look the same. True. However, can you find patterns of things that work for you and your audience? Now, you might need to test this a lot and try things. And from a YouTube perspective, what we see is that it evolves and shapes and changes over time. So that way, you know, you might have to, you know, do something, let it run for a little bit, then change it up. You know, Mr. Beast on his channel has talked about, you know, when they do thumbnails, they found they're testing like open smile, closed smile. They tested it and they know what works, and like smile, no teeth, but closed mouth, whatever. But so you might need to keep testing things, or you might try some things. But once you find something that works, let it run for a little bit. You can do that multiple times. And so you just want to be open to those, kind of thinking about that multi-purposing ahead of time. I want to talk about another thing that I think is kind of one of these rules. If you look in the history of cinema, a lot of cinema, and I use that term purposefully, you know, super high quality, you start to see like lots of money being put into these things. They want it to look really good. They got to make a lot of money on it. You see, like, even in art films, like, there's this aesthetic. I don't know that I have time for those aesthetics. Look, I'm not saying put out garbage. Don't put out the worst things ever. But I think we can pull back a little bit on quality. You know, it's got to be good enough. You know, prioritize your audio as being as good as it can be, because that's going to be one of the big drivers. We've got research that shows that. You know, think about, like, hey, if all I've got is a smartphone, this is a gosh darn good camera. And I don't care if it's the Android or iPhone that you got. If it's relatively current, it's going to be very powerful. But you need to learn the technique. You need to learn how to make it work for you. Obviously, there's things that light that matter. You know, there's things that you can do in editing to make it better. But, like, if we had to prioritize quality and time, you probably don't have enough time for everything you need to do. Maybe it's okay to let that quality drop just a little bit. Now, again, being really mindful of things that you're looking at, so that way you don't want to make things that look bad or embarrassing or, you know, problematic. But I think we can, you know, we don't need to produce the $50,000 production to have good results. I think you can move a little bit faster, maybe tone down the quality a little bit. But, you know, you got to go with what you feel comfortable with. All right. So a couple other things, and this one's not new, but it used to be that, like, transitions were a must. And then we got to see where transitions are too much. And in the last 10 years, there's the evolution of the jump cut, you know, where if you don't know what a jump cut is, it is basically where you have a scene where someone is talking head, let's say, if you're watching the video, like I might be doing, and then it looks like, because of an edit, you cut out between two pieces, it looks like there's a sudden movement or jerk that maybe the head's in a different position. It looks like the scene has jumped. Has become much more popular. I remember even at a conference a couple years ago, people arguing about, like, no, jump cuts aren't professional. Let's throw that notion out the window. I think jump cuts can be completely professional. I don't think you have to use them. It's definitely a stylistic choice. You can do things if you're shooting on a 4K camera. You can do things where you actually push in the video. So it looks like, you know, maybe you're shooting kind of mid-chest up and then you push into a close-up where it's like top of the chest to the top of the head. And you can do that a little bit more easily if you've got big enough files or big enough imagery. But that's a decision, right? But it's not bad to do a jump cut. It's not bad to do push-in. It's not bad, again, to shoot vertical video. And these are much more stylistical kind of decisions that you're going to want to make. Don't do it because it's just cool. It's not cool. It is. Do it because it works for your storytelling, for the style, you know, works for what you want to do. There's a great creator out there, Hayden Hillier-Smith. He actually teaches about editing stylistically. He went to film school. He's now a YouTube creator, has created for a lot of popular, famous YouTube creators. I just watched a video from him today talking about some of the flow stuff. And there's a lot that you can do that's cinematic if you want to. But again, I think sometimes it's about, like, what's your message? What are you trying to get across? Here's another thing that you could do if you're looking at rules. You know, it used to be that you had to be kind of a film editor, right? Looking in a nonlinear editor, going through, cutting things out, kind of line by piece, piecing things together. But nowadays, there's really great tools that allow you to edit video like text. And I think this is important to note because it's a different model of editing that if you're a professional video editor, you might look at it and say, like, why would I ever do that? I know how to do this. But if you're not a professional video editor, this can save you so much time. So using, like, TechSmith Audiate, I can bring in my transcript. I can clean up stuff. I'm going to use it on this video. And it's going to save me a bunch of time so I can get those cuts. You know, they won't necessarily always be perfect, but I could spend a little time fixing those up, or I can say it's good enough. You know, again, if our time is really important and really valuable, let's do things that make us faster, so we can get to an end result that then helps people versus, oh my gosh, it's going to be a beautiful piece of work of art. Because if we're going back to thinking like the audience, one of the things that we might want to look at is say, like, well, what does our audience want? Are they here to get art because we think it's cool and looks great and it's awesome? Or are they here to get information and to be able to do stuff? And I think that's a key question. So I think what we can do is really start to change some of the rules around how we think about creation, what tools that we're using and the way that we're using them. You know, I think just how we package up this whole kind of spectrum from start to finish, I think we've got a lot more flexibility. And that's a beauty of being alive and being a creator today. There is so much more that we can do in style and kind of taking from an approach that than we could 20, 30 years ago. Even when, you know, I started creating video for TechSmith, we had very strict limits. You know, we had to make our videos 800 by, I think it was 800 by 450. That was the size. You know, think about an HD video is 1920 by 1080. So these were tiny, and we had a 4 megabyte limit. And so we were doing everything we can to get that to be concise and very precise, but that meant we were very restrained. The thing I loved about that, though, is the team that I worked with was super creative. They were always thinking of new ways to get just a little bit more better information in there. And now we've got this kind of wide open, I don't think about file size anymore. I don't think about the quality of the camera because I've got one and I've got lights. But the thing is, can I get more creative because of the restraints that I do have? But can I take some of those restraints and say, like, well, this is old thinking. Can I bend it to work for me a little bit and still have a good product? Now, that's the end of the day. Do people watch it? Do they learn or understand what or the message that you're getting across? Can they do the thing you're asking them to do? Will they be able to retain it? Will they be able to find it again? You know, like, were they engaged? All these questions are really important. Not necessarily that you've chosen to not use a jump cut or that you chose to record vertical. Those, like, who cares? It really doesn't matter. What matters is that message and you conveying it to them so that they care enough to want to watch it. And so I think, you know, the rules of video have changed. Undisputably, the rules are changing. They will continue to change. They're going to continue to be evolving and shaping, especially as technology continues to change. AI is going to do some things. I think we're going to see a lot there. I think we're going to see a lot of things happen just across the board that make video even better. It's going to be even easier. It's going to be faster. And, you know, if you're here for it, let's do it together. Let's figure out what these rules are and move forward. So hopefully this is helpful. Hopefully it gets you thinking a little bit about what you can do. What are the rules that you're constrained by? And do they need to be rules? Because maybe they do. Or are they things that you can evolve or shape? So with that said, I hope that, you know, this, again, is inspiring. I hope it helps you to think through some problems. And, you know, again, we'd love to have you subscribe to the podcast. If you leave a review, that would be helpful. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. Give us a like, thumbs up for the episode or for any of your favorite episodes. If you've got comments or questions, email me, thevisuallounge@techsmith.com. Super easy to remember. We'd love to hear from you, whether you like it or you've got a gripe about it. We'd love to hear from you. And of course, you know, our whole goal here is to help you. We want you to be better today than you were yesterday and before the day before that. So we hope you take a little time to level up every single day. Thanks.